Neil here, and welcome to this special episode, which we've decided to release today. We don't usually go out on a Tuesday, but today, the 22nd of March, is in fact World Water Day. So perfect timing for the water series that we've been producing these past weeks with On the Green Fence. And so for today, we decided to take a closer look at just how polluted our water is globally and what the main challenges are in this context.
The world is facing a pollution crisis.
That's Sarantuya Sandaria. She's a program specialist in the Division of Water Sciences and the Intergovernmental Hydrological Program of UNESCO in Paris, France. But before we head into that interview with her, let me just bring in some interesting stats on water first. Water covers over 70% of the Earth's surface. We have an estimated 326 million cubic miles of it on this planet, and over 97% of the Earth's water is found in the oceans as salt water. Only 2%, in fact, of the Earth's water is stored as fresh water in ice caps and snowy mountain ranges, and only 0.5% of the Earth's water is actually available to us as fresh water right now. But water as such is not scarce, despite these figures. And the water cycle ensures that there's always the same amount of water on this planet. And because this cycle has always circulated on our planet, the chances are that you and I are drinking the same water that passed through all living beings that came a long time before us, including the dinosaurs. Which I thought was kind of interesting. But anyway, a bit of a digression there. The dinosaurs, they certainly didn't have to worry about the pollutants that we are grappling with today. So time to bring in Sarantuya Sandaria now to find out more about just how big the problems are that we face today and how we can best solve them.
Pollution has worsened in terms of its extent and severity level, and also in terms of the growing number of different pollutants that are found in our water resources. I'm afraid that it will grow even more severe in the future if no concrete action will be taken to reduce pollution across the world.
Okay, so perhaps if we go a bit deeper then into, you know, I mean, how does this impact on human health and our ecosystems? Can you perhaps give us some examples?
Today, one third of the world's population, or almost 2.4 billion people, use drinking water from potentially contaminated, unsafe sources. Pollution is one of the five direct drivers of ecosystem decline and biodiversity loss. Water pollution is not only a problem per se, but it has really negative consequences on ecosystems, on our societies, on our food security, and also on the state of the environment globally. And actually, the state of water quality defines the state of the environmental quality in that specific area.
Hmm. I mean, if you talk about pollutants and also emerging pollutants, can you perhaps give us some example, you know, put a name to what are the main substances that you're worried about right now, or also, you know, with regard to the future?
Well, in terms of the water pollution problems, there are old water pollution problems. I call them old because they have been known as water pollution problems, and such as nutrient and microbial pollution. So these old water pollution problems remain unsolved in water resources in many regions of the world. Mm-hmm. So these types of water pollution even have worsened in the past decades due to the population growth, agricultural intensification, and climate change. But on the other hand, on top of these pollutants, new types of pollutants such as pharmaceuticals, chemicals, endocrine disruptors are found in water resources. These pollutants are called emerging pollutants, and they present a new global water quality challenge because emerging pollutants are not regulated in national water and environmental quality regulations and standards. These pollutants are found in every region, in every type of water resources, such as rivers, lakes, and groundwater. These pollutants may have potentially serious negative effects on humans and wildlife. For example, some researchers have found that endocrine disrupting pollutants may affect reproductive functions in fish. Some of these pollutants are not biodegradable, which means that they accumulate in the environment, and they also may accumulate in fish tissue or in aquatic organisms. Other major new pollution problem is plastic and microplastic pollution in both freshwater and oceans. And this, as you know, this has become a major global concern.
I mean, how worried are you about this in the long run? Because as I understand, there's not a lot of science on this yet, just how dangerous these could be to our health.
Well, huge quantities of plastics and microplastics are discharged into both freshwater and ocean. And actually, the ocean is the ultimate sink of plastic and microplastics. So this is really a concern for everyone. Several million tons of plastic enter continuously the ocean every year. The researchers have found that about 90% of the plastic pollution in the ocean originate from land-based human activities and are transported through rivers to the oceans. And the microplastic pollution is much more serious than the plastic pollution because it is impossible to remove them from water or from sediments. So the only solution is to prevent their generation and their discharge into the environment. And it is really a concerning issue because microplastic pollution in some countries has reached an alarming level in a way that there are more microplastics than planktons in some rivers. And in fact, researchers have found that microplastics and also pharmaceuticals are found in freshwater and marine biota, such as fish tissue or digestive organs, and they even may move further up in the food chain. Also, the like emerging pollutants, other emerging pollutants, the long-term effects of microplastics on the aquatic organisms are not really fully known, so there is really need for further scientific research to better understand their long-term effects on aquatic organisms as well as on us, on humans.
Sarah and Tuya, you've outlined some of the problems that we have with, you know, substances in the water. I mean, is this just a question of us investing more money that we have to just clean up this mess? I mean, could water treatment systems, you know, if we roll them out in a big way, solve this problem? Or have we reached a state now where we can't even clean the water anymore?
That's a really nice question. And the technologies for some water pollution control and prevention reduction have existed. But the problems still remain unsolved. And actually, water pollution has reached the level or the tipping point in many areas. And even some areas, it has crossed the tipping point, causing irreversible change in natural ecosystems. Innovation and the technologies exist, but we have to act differently in terms of not cleaning up after polluting rivers, but taking action upstream before polluting waters. That is most important. That's what I would like to highlight. There is also another problem is that even though the technologies are available, they are not accessible or not affordable in many countries, especially in countries where the pollution is much more serious, because of the lack of financial resources and investments in the water sector, and also because of the lack of scientific and human capacities. So it is also important to share knowledge, to transfer innovation to these countries where water pollution is much more problematic. And this is at the heart of UNESCO's work.
Sarah and Tuya, you mentioned tipping points, that we've reached a certain tipping points when it comes to water, which sort of, you know, I mean, it's something that also comes up in the climate change debate a lot, right? These tipping points. Talking of climate change, I mean, how does this impact on our water?
Not only will there be more droughts and floods, but climate change will also worsen the global water quality. For example, with global warming, increased water temperatures may create more favorable environments for certain bacterial pollutants and bacteria growth, and this will have consequences on human health as well. Higher water temperatures together with high levels of nutrients will also cause eutrophication and excess algal growth in surface waters. And that's a big problem. And actually, many countries are already witnessing this problem because of climate change. There will be more occurrences of exceptionally high pollution levels in rivers during floods because all the waste from the flooded areas will enter water resources during floods. There will also be risks of drinking water contamination or disruptions in drinking water services due to pollution of source waters or damage to water infrastructure. Droughts will also worsen water quality in the rivers due to less water in the rivers, which means less diluting effects. So water pollution mitigation should be a part of the water and climate discussions and climate adaptation policies. So climate change will impact water quality and will worsen water quality.
I mean, this sounds like a lot of potentially bad news that we're facing. Can you give us the good news? You know, what are the solutions? What is being worked on? And how can we turn this around?
At the global level, we know little about quality of water because a large percentage of the world's rivers and lakes are not monitored. So there is lack of water quality information. What we don't know well, we cannot manage well. So the water quality data and information are essential. So UNESCO developed a very innovative portal based on satellite Earth observation through which we can monitor fresh water quality in every part of the world, even in the areas where there is no monitoring network. So UNESCO has helped the Lake Chad in Africa and La Plata River in Latin America to use this innovative tool for water quality monitoring in those areas. And this will not only improve water quality data and information in those basins, but also will provide good information basis for policy making and management solutions, as well as identification of pollution hotspots and impacts of other sectors such as urbanization, agriculture, etc.
Okay, so I mean, it sounds like we need a raft of measures, right? We need structural change. We maybe also need legislation. We need innovation. We also need to know and monitor this problem more closely. There are a lot of unknowns still. But on an individual level, I mean, what can I as an individual do to help solve this problem?
Everyone can take action and everyone has an important role to play in reducing the global water pollution. Practically everything we use and dispose of back to the environment pollute water resources. So by making better choices of products that we consume or by being more aware of the impacts of our lifestyle and consumption behavior, anyone, you, me, and everyone can help reduce water pollution. So there are a large number of ways to do this. For example, avoiding the use of plastic bags or avoiding the use of single-use plastic items will hugely reduce the input of plastics into the environment and water resources. Or adopting more recycling and reuse will lead to the reduction of waste and pollution generation. Especially, I would like to emphasize the role of and power of the youth. Many young people are concerned about environment and water issues. So we need to engage the youth and make them more aware of the water pollution problems and of the contributions that they, the youth, can make. Because today's young people are tomorrow's water leaders and change makers. So we need to make the best use of young people, of their new minds. Also, at the individual level, we need to think differently about water, not only in terms of water that we drink and use for cooking and washing, but in terms of water that can suffer from our action, from our activities. Everyone needs to be mindful that humans are part of natural ecosystems. We depend on these ecosystems for food and everything that we take from the nature. So by polluting water, we are endangering our own survival. So every person can be an actor of a positive change towards cleaner water, towards a healthier world. So today is the World Water Day. So I would like to call upon everyone to take action, to be more mindful about polluting less our environment and our precious and finite water resources.
Sarantuya Sundaria with UNESCO in Paris. Thank you very much for talking to me here with On the Green Fence.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so time for my main takeaways from this episode. First off, water pollution has worsened in the past decades due to population growth, agricultural intensification, and climate change. As to the actual pollutants, Sarantuya seemed to be most concerned about persistent chemicals that accumulate in nature and microplastics. And I thought one fact that she highlighted here with regard to microplastics was particularly shocking. It really stuck with me. The fact that some rivers or waters are now carrying more microplastics than plankton. And even if we still need more research into the long-term impact of microplastics on our health, it's clear that these are harming the fish and our aquatic ecosystems, and that they are gradually making their way up the food chain into our bodies. So it really would be better if we could avoid plastics whenever we can. So stop the problem at the source, so to speak, before it even gets into the water and into our bodies ultimately. And this doesn't just go for plastics, but also for chemicals and pharmaceuticals, because even if we can clean up most of the mess that we've made with sophisticated and very expensive water treatment systems, which aren't available to all in this world, unfortunately, there are still some substances that we can't filter out 100% yet, so there will be traces. I also thought it was interesting how Saran Tuya spoke of tipping points in this context, and that our water pollution has already caused irreversible damage to ecosystems in some regions where certain species, for instance, they've disappeared completely. And once they're gone, they're gone for good. And that's something that's really, really worrying. And finally, the role of monitoring. I think, from what Saran Tuya said, what UNESCO is doing there, I think we really need to expand this. It seems like we're still very much in the dark as to how bad water pollution actually is, in certain parts of the globe at least. So a lot more global satellite monitoring would really help for starters here. That's my two cents for now. Please do let us know what you think. Our email address is onthegreenfence@dw.com. We always love to hear from our listeners, so don't be shy. In our next episode, which will be concluding our series on water, we'll be looking at the issue of water and its potential for fueling violent conflicts. Do join me again for that. That will certainly be interesting. Time to wrap up now. Many thanks to my sound engineer, Gert Georgi, and my producer and colleague, Natalie Muller. And a big thanks, of course, to you for listening. My name is Neil King. Take it easy and take care.